Blog Talk Radio.
Excuse me, yes sir, I understand, but do you actually have the word yes in your vocabulary?
I guess it started when I was a kid. If you said I couldn't do it, I did. Always had a stubborn streak, put a wall in front of me, and I'll find a way to get around it. There was a friend who said I'd never make the team. A lot of small town talk that said I'd never leave. Oh, and you know who you are. You all play the part in pushing me on to my dream. I wanna thank everyone who ever told me no. Pack it up and get back home. It kept me going, knowing I would prove them wrong. Yeah, I knew it all along. Without them, I'd have given up a long time ago. And so, I wanna thank everyone who ever told me no. Played my music for a man behind the desk. He said, sorry, what you got? I just don't get. Oh, but here I am today, standing on this stage, and I wonder even now if he gets it, yeah. I wanna thank everyone who ever told me no. Pack it up and get back home. It kept me going, knowing I would prove them wrong. Yeah, I knew it all along. Without them, I'd have given up a long time ago. And so, I wanna thank everyone who ever told me no.
Mason, and normally I play a shameless self-promotion, but Buddy Jewel, that song just stuck in my head. I've been listening to it for the past few days, and there's a good reason for it. I cannot tell you the people that have told me no in my life. and I've proven them all wrong. This morning I ran the numbers for this show, and yesterday we hit the 10,000 mark. This morning, just on Blog Talk Radio, we were 4,433 listeners. When we add all the podcasts, we are now, ladies and gentlemen, because of y'all and my guest and the people around the world, we are at 10,101 listeners, and we're growing every day. The show is only 6 months old. Now, let me just give you some names of the countries that listen to us, because they deserve shout-outs. Even if they're at 1%, they deserve a shout-out. Hungary, Norway, Bulgaria, Malaysia, Vietnam, Ukraine, Finland, Sweden, Korea, Ecuador, Tunisia, the Russian Federation, Singapore, of course, good old USA, Ireland, Germany, Egypt, the UK, Indonesia, Australia, Croatia, Canada, New Zealand, Brazil, Taiwan, South Africa, Pakistan, India, Saudi Arabia, Portugal, and Nigeria. So the next person that tells me no, thank you for telling me no, because we have done it. I am so excited. Now, I also want to give a shout-out to a young man who sent me an ad on my AdvertiseCast.com site. And if you go over there and look up Off the Chain, my prices are so cheap, they should be criminal. But he is a young author named Andrew Bouchard, and he wrote a cute little book called The Seduction of Anita Sarkeesian. And Anita Sarkeesian doesn't want you to read this book, so if you hate Anita, then why not just irritate her and go purchase the book? It's a romance, it's funny, and it's a wild ride. Go and order it on Amazon and go irritate Anita for a little while. But you can't go yet. You got to wait till after the show. I'm hoping that Miss Mary's the one that called
me. I'm here, Yvonne.
She's here.
I'm
Yay.
Here.
I was having a panic attack.
No, darling. I've been listening to you ever since 8 o'clock. I've called in.
Yeah, I saw you come. Well, let me introduce her before we get into tonight's show. Mary and I have known each other for God forever, it seems like. She is an editor of the English language with the best proofing eyes. So if you need an editor, hook up with her on my page. She is an editor who exudes professionalism and knowledge about her profession. She is a writing mentor who provides the spark and incentive to complete projects. She is a dedicated and creative journalist. She is a bringer of enlightenment, information, and positive energy who all call on her. I cannot talk. She is a conduit between business and readers. She is one who possesses vast knowledge of technology and current marketing needs, and she is the personification of a communications guru. She is also a muse finder, and she is my friend. I am so honored to call her my friend.
I like that last one best.
Me too. We've been through a lot together, you and I. And so as we get started, how did you like the numbers?
I thought that was pretty awesome. I like all those ones, especially with the zeros in between.
Absolutely. And the countries, I mean, the countries just keep growing. That's why I played the thanks you to everyone who told me no, because there have been many people in my life that said, no, you can't do this. Well, thank you very much, people. I did it.
Darling, I wouldn't be where I am today if it weren't for the naysayers in my past.
Absolutely, because we're going to show them. You and I are just that way. In fact, that segues into, you know, I don't have a scripted show. I have notes. So who the hell knows where this show is going to go, but I'm going to bring you back. So if we don't get to everything, we'll get to it when you come back. Tell the folks your history. First, tell the folks how we met and then how you got to where you are today, because you're not only all of the things are, you're a photographer, you were a caregiver for your mother, and you and I can relate to that very well. You're just an all-around good person.
Well, thank you. Takes one to know one.
So tell the folks how you got in all this that you do. Was it something you started at as a little girl?
I started out in a small town in Walterboro, South Carolina. or as I should say, Walterboro, South Carolina. But I don't draw as much as my relatives do. But I lived for most of my life in a little town, and all I could dream of was getting out of that town. All of my life, I never felt like I belonged there. But I didn't know how to get out. So when I was in high school, I started thinking, hey, I'll go to college, and that'll be my way out. That'll be my ticket. Started talking to my counselor, who told she was one of my first naysayers. And I was very, you would not believe this because you know me, Yvonne.
Yes.
I was a wallflower for the first too many years of my life. I hid into the background, and I took what people said about me and to me at face value, and I thought they obviously know more than I do. My guidance counselor told me that my grades were not good enough to get a scholarship, didn't tell me there were other ways to get scholarships, and that my parents couldn't afford to send me to college, so give up that idea and become a waitress. So I did. And many years later, well, a few years later, I married a guy that I knew in high school. He's a great father to my kids. Turned out to be a lousy husband. Not a lousy husband. He was an okay husband. But after 25 years, he turned out not to be the husband I needed in my life. He never supported my writing. He said it was a nice little hobby. But I needed a real job, you know, get a day job type thing. Well, after a lot of meditation and a lot of thinking, a lot of drinking, I came home one night and said, you know what, I can't do this anymore. And I left him. And it was a shock to everybody, including myself, when I packed up the Christmas decorations in the Tupperware and said, hasta la vista, baby. And then I met a great guy. After I left my husband, it was like, you know, how the old expression, when God closes one door, God opens another.
Yes.
And that door slammed, and another opened up, and I met a man that, had I passed him on the street, I might would have nodded and smiled, probably would have scurried away like a little scaredy cat. But I left my husband. I found a new guy who was quite a bit younger than I am, and we started dating online, actually, and he lived in Florida. I lived in South Carolina, and one day he called me up and said, how would you feel about moving to Atlanta? And I thought, well, that's an odd thing because we don't live together. Why would you ask me that question? And turned out he had a great job in Atlanta and wanted me to move in with him. Well, I
wow.
was raised in a good little Catholic girl. So, of course, I said yes. And my mother was appalled, you know, that I would move in with a man that she had not yet met, much less one I wasn't married to. But it started a life of adventure for us. And eventually we moved to Florida. He inherited a little bit of money from his grandmother when she passed away, and we opened a business together. While we were working on that, I found out about a newspaper that was publishing locally, and I started writing for them as a freelancer. Well, here I am 14 years later, and I'm doing my own thing. I'm writing whatever I want. I just finished a novel, and I'm shopping for an agent. I edit for a magazine. I edit for a couple of companies out of different, pretty much all over the world. Just sent off another invoice today. Gal said, I'm finished for the month. Go ahead and send me your invoice. I edit for other writers, novelists and short story writers, memoirists. But I think the thing right now that I do that I love the most, because I am a caregiver at heart, I started 2 years ago volunteering as a publicist for the Friends for Animals Sanctuary, which is building a domestic animal sanctuary in Brevard County. 20 acres in Cocoa. It'll be the only domestic animal sanctuary, taking in everything from the size of a hamster all the way up to a Clydesdale.
Wow.
I do that. That's what I do when I'm not earning money. When I'm not billable, I'm working to raise money for the sanctuary and working on their events. We have four, I call them equines, they're horses. We have a pony, two horses, and a donkey that came with the property. All of them are rescues. In the past years since the organization was founded, we have placed over 200 cats and dogs that were on the verge of being killed in the shelters. We've placed them in homes. And in between that, I take care of my husband. And he takes care of me.
And you do some amazing photography.
Well, thank you. You and I still have to have our photo shoot.
Yes, we do. Yes, we do. I may have to get you to come down here because my husband does not get out much anymore.
I can do that.
And I don't leave him because he is disabled and he gets really, really anxious if I leave him for any length. And you've been there. You know what I'm talking about.
Oh, yes.
And it's not fair to him because, like your husband, he supports me in everything I do. He is my biggest supporter. I don't know what I would do without him.
Having that psychological and emotional support to chase your dream is worth more than gold.
It is. It because at the end of the day, like when I leave this show tonight, I'll walk in the living room and he'll say, "Well, how was your show?" And I'll say, "It was wonderful." And he'll say, "All of your shows are wonderful." And I said, "Yes, they are." And then I will proceed to give him the highlights of the show.
That's
and
awesome.
And like your husband, he's interested in what I'm doing. We have a caller. It looks like a Georgia number. I'm going to see if they have a question. Hello, caller.
Well, hello.
Hello.
I won't keep you guessing but I will tell you that we sat next to each other in Hoyt Withers' class.
That was 100 years ago.
No, it was just 99. It was just 99. You know.
Who is this?
No, it's Ron Gregory.
I thought that.
Mary, I thought
this is one of my high school mates, Ron Gregory. We went to school together years ago.
That's always good to reconnect.
I was listening to Mary talking about it. She said she was a good Catholic girl and then immediately said yes. And then the words of Billy Joel came to me, you know, was the quote, "Come out, Virginia, don't let them wait, you Catholic girls, start much later."
Yep.
I love it.
I waited 25 years to start my life. I really did because
I put
my life on hold.
There's nothing wrong with that. In 25 years of starting your life is still plenty of time to start your life. I mean, your life starts when you start feeling fulfilled. So.
Amen. Amen.
I didn't really have a question.
That's okay. You'd get to help guest host tonight because Miss Mary called in right when the music was starting. So you get to help ask questions and guest host with me tonight.
Well, I'll do my best.
Honey, nothing scripted around here, is it, Mary?
That's the beautiful part about knowing you, Yvonne. Let me tell you, the day that I met Yvonne, I had never seen her before. I'd never heard her name. I had never read her books. And I had been sent to cover the Authors for Authors event at the, I think it was Cocoa Library.
Yep.
And I was scared to pieces because I had never been around that many writers before. Because my life just, I don't know, I was intimidated by people who wrote books instead of newspaper articles.
Oh, I was.
And I turned the corner and I saw Yvonne. And it was one of those kismet moments where, oh, I know you. And I felt like I had known her all of my life. And the fact that she was wearing a top hat didn't hurt. I think we were both wearing hats that day, weren't we?
We were. We were.
I just remember her with long hair.
Yep. It was down to my butt when we were in school. And Mary,
I wasn't going to say butt, but yeah, it was down there.
If I had known that you were that nervous, I would have put you at ease immediately.
Oh, you did. You did. My hair was always long, too, and my son, when he was 8 or 9, maybe 10, had to write a story, and it was supposed to be about his mother. And he wrote that my hair was down to my breech because he couldn't say the word but he knew what breech meant. And his teacher was just flabbergasted because he even knew the word.
Well, he was a smart boy. He was your son.
He takes after his mama.
Now, Ron, listen to this. Not only is Mary all of those things that I talked about in the beginning, but she has a granddaughter. Now, when I was a little girl, one of the things I thought about doing when I got ready to run away from home was run away and join the circus. Her granddaughter did. She is a clown for Ringling Brothers.
No, my grandfather.
Your grandfather.
Yep. And two of his brothers. My grandfather and two of his brothers.
So is he fixing to be out of work now?
Well, he's passed on now.
Oh, well, okay. Well, the reason I say that is because they're disbanding, so, you know, it's like Ringling Brothers, so.
Yeah, Ringling Brothers is going down.
Which I totally hate. Yeah, it's such an institution. All the institutions are going away.
I think the animal activists have really put a hurt on circuses, and I understand it.
I do, too.
And, you know, the fact that I work with an animal sanctuary, I understand it, but it's difficult when you've got animals. A lot of people don't understand that circuses and zoos perform a public service to these animals that would be wandering the streets otherwise.
No, that's true.
Well, I am concerned about how they're treated, you know, when they're in captivity, and that always bothers. Of course, growing up, you know, as kids, you know, we saw them in the circus, and we never thought about anybody being abused or anything like that. But when you think about children nowadays, if it weren't for zoos and circuses, they'll never see a live animal, you know, like that.
Exactly. And you know, nature shows just don't portray it the same way.
No, they don't. It's nothing like being, you know, four rows from center ring and seeing some, you know, huge mammoth gray animal there, you know, up on its hind legs with a person on the back and thinking, oh, my goodness. You know, I didn't realize they were really that big. Yeah, well, the smell's there. Yeah, the smell also helps get the idea across. And the guy that walks out there with the shovel and the broom, you know, that's such a great guy. But anyway,
that's a difficult thing for us. I have a question for you, Miss Mary.
All righty.
Why the hell were you shoved out of an airplane by a handsome Irishman?
Oh, honey. You know, I got to do a lot of things when I was working and writing for Senior Life. I'm no longer doing that. But I got to do a lot of amazing things. And then one of the things that the newspaper did that year was I think that came out the year that the Bucket List movie came out. So
yeah.
The newspaper sponsored opportunities for people to fulfill their bucket lists. And one of the things, I mean, she took seniors water skiing and parachuting. I don't remember her doing anything after that, to be totally honest. But those were the first two things that she did. And she asked me to go and write a story. There was a man who was 80 years old, and he was celebrating his 80th birthday by jumping out of an airplane, tandem. And I said, okay, I'll go, but I'm not jumping. And I dressed so nice. My mother was appalled that I would even consider going. She said, well, I'll tell you how not to go, how not to jump out of this airplane. Wear your sandals, wear those really nice brown slacks, and that fluffy shirt that you've got with the ruffles on the front. They won't dare ask you to jump out of an airplane dressed like that. Well, they gave me a T-shirt to cover the things that might would have shown. Otherwise, it wouldn't have been so ladylike. And warned me that I was going to lose my sandals. And the newspaper actually paid for me to go. And this little guy, he probably was 5'2". He strapped himself on my back. And when we got to the edge of the airplane, he said, now just lean forward. And I couldn't do it. And so you look out of this airplane, you're 15,000, 18,000 feet high, and you see nothing but clouds. And it's a mind over matter thing, but it's one of the hardest things I ever did was to will myself to step out of that plane. And so then he just kind of leaned into me and shoved me, and the two of us went tumbling out of this airplane. And it was the highlight of my year that year.
Now, Ron, you have to visualize this because Mary is a fairly tall woman. I'd say you're what, 5'10", 5'11", Mary?
I'm 5'10".
And you have this 5'2" guy behind her shoving her out of this plane. Now, that is things that a story is made of.
That's almost Shades of the Circus. I mean,
well,
I mean,
you know,
it really is. It's like getting out of a clown car. You know, you got a 5'2" guy behind you, and you're that tall. But he was an Irishman, and they'll do most anything.
Oh my God! The flight that he and I were on, I think this was his 10,000th jump. So he was really excited to get it started, and it was really a lot of fun. And when we got to the ground, there was a young lady who kind of, I didn't know it at the time, she was following us around and videotaping everything that we did, and I didn't even know where her camera was. And she came up and looked at me in the face, and she goes, so how did you like it? And I said, holy shit, that was fun. And she just burst out laughing, and then she said, this is going to make a great video. And I said, oh, my God, you've got to cut that out. I'm going to share this with my mother. She says, no way, Jose. This stays in.
So what did your mother think about it?
My mother didn't care because she taught me how to say that word.
Oh, okay. Well,
and Ron, there was something else that happened to her that when I read it, I went, okay, I can't even make this shit up, and I'm a writer. She was on her honeymoon with her husband, minding her own business, and she was stopped and questioned at gunpoint. What law were you breaking, my friend?
Well, I was minding my business, but my business may not have been Mexico's business. we had actually gone on our honeymoon with a group of people. My husband, I have to give you a little backstory. My husband is an enormous Richard Hatch fan, and I don't know if you know who he is. He just recently passed away. He was a Hollywood star, kind of a C, B, or D star. He wasn't an A-lister. He played on All My Children and Battlestar Galactica. But anyway, my husband just thought.
Oh, yeah, I remember him.
Yeah, he was Captain Apollo.
Yeah.
On Battlestar Galactica back in the 80s.
Yeah.
When you were about, you were about four. But
about four, D, yeah. But, yeah, you were right, four.
Anyway, we.
Well,
just trying to keep abreast of what's going. I'm just trying to keep abreast of what's going on here. But anyway.
That's right. So anyway, we decided, I thought my husband was really romantic when he said, hey, when we get married, I'm thinking that I'm going to take you on a cruise. I'm like, great. He said, well, we can get married now, but I want to go on the cruise in December. I said, that sounds okay. I don't mind delaying it. Give us time to save up money for the bar tab and whatnot. So He says, well, it's a Richard Hatch cruise. I said, who the I can't say that word on the phone. I said, who the heck is Richard Hatch? And he said, oh, you know who that is. I said, that's Captain Apollo. I'm like, oh, God, him again? Because, I mean, my husband literally, he was in love with this guy, I think. But anyhow, we went on this cruise, met some fabulous people. Richard Hatch turned out to be a really great guy. I thought he was a little stuck on himself at first, but I had a way to unglue him. And we went on this, you know, when you go on a cruise, you get off in different places and you go on excursions. Well, one of the excursions was to go to a Mayan temple, which was fabulous. It was, I'd go back just for that temple experience again. We were supposed to go to a lake inland and have a picnic like the natives did. This is what the people that lived in this town did. They went inland and they went to the lake and it was, you know, family time. Well, Mr. Hollywood decided he didn't want to do that. He wanted to go to the beach. And Curtis and I looked at each other and said, we live in Florida on the East Coast. We can go to the beach. We can be at the beach in 10 minutes. What's the big deal? Well, I couldn't understand it because Richard himself is from Hollywood. He's from Santa Clarita. So he could go to the beach pretty easily. But a lot of the other people on the cruise that were with the group were from, they went on it because it was in December. They were from New Jersey, or one was from Ohio. People came from England and Scotland to go on this cruise. So they'd never been to a Mexican beach. They thought it was great. In addition to the tequila, which my husband calls liquid divorce, rightfully so. No, tequila, it'll my marriage if I drink it again. It's horrible to me. I'm allergic to it, apparently. But anyway, they all decided that they were going to go on to the beach, and that totally messed up our tour guide, and the tour stopped, and we had no way back to the ship except to rent a taxi or whatever the equivalent was back in those days. And I could see where we were standing on the beach. I could see the ship, and it was literally maybe half a mile. It was just, you know, as the crow flies. If we could have walked out into the water, we'd have been there in 20, 30 minutes. Well, I asked the tour guide, Pedro. I said, hey, Pedro, can we walk to the ship from here? He said, sure, no problem. Just follow the coastline and you'll be there. I said, how long will it take? He says, depends on how fast you walk. I'm like, well, that makes a lot of sense. You know, how practical can you be? Well, what Pedro failed to tell us was at the end of this beach was a 12-foot concrete wall that went out into the water, about 20 feet or so. And my husband, as I mentioned earlier, is quite young compared to me. And even, you know, 11 years ago, he was a lot younger than I feel like I am today. But he scaled the wall and he says, hey, let's just jump over the wall. And I said, only if you catch me. And as you mentioned earlier, Yvonne, I'm a big girl. He just looked at me. He said, no, I'm not playing catch. So he said, I think you might actually hurt yourself if you try to jump down because it's farther down on the other side because of the way the sand had shifted. So I said, okay, well, we'll go around. Well, he's like a half billy goat or something. So he's scaling these rocks and things, and he's going around, and I didn't want to do that, so I waded out around the wall into the water. And as I'm coming up the little walkway, up the rockway, I hear him say, Mary, Mary, get over here now. And there was something edgy to his voice, but I'm watching where my feet are going because there's also coral where we were walking, and I had to be very careful of that. So finally I look up, and there's this guy in a uniform holding a pistol, and he's pointing it at me. So this guy says, I think, I think his English was as poor as my Spanish. He was saying, sheep card, sheep cart, sheep cart. I'm like, what in the hell is a sheep cart? Well, he wanted our ship ID. And so I had mine and Curtis's in the backpack because Curtis had been, oh, all kinds of stuff had happened to us before we got to that point in the trip. But I had to pull out my ID and Curtis's ID, and I showed it to this guy, and he says, what's on your ship leave? I didn't know. I didn't care what time it left. I just knew what time our dinner appointment was that night. So I said, 4 o'clock. And he said, get on your ship and no come back. And I looked at him and I said, but why the gun? And he just looked at me and shook his head, no. And I think Curtis had actually talked to him somewhat before I got there, and we were on a private piece of property that had that's what the wall was for, was to keep out, you know, wayward tourists.
And you know how bad that sounds that you're in Mexico, you're climbing over a wall, don't you? I mean, you just
exactly.
You know.
I mean, into Mexico, who goes into Mexico though? That wall was on the Gulf side, not Texas.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
I'll tell you what, if they put up a wall like that, nobody's getting through. That thing
really
is scary.
It's hard to know down there who's the military and who's the private security in uniform that's hired by somebody, you know,
and they're all carrying guns.
And I remember going into Mexico City one time, and there was armed soldiers with rifles at the airport, you know, and so it's just something that people don't really realize unless you travel what it's like.
And they're not just, Ron, they're not just armed soldiers. They're armed soldiers with AK-47s.
Yeah.
They're
armed soldiers
that
don't understand what you're saying, so you could mess up and say the wrong thing, you know. So,
somebody once asked me if I spoke Spanish, and I said, just enough to get myself in trouble.
Exactly. And best thing to do is say no English, you know, and just go with it and hope that they pity you.
they look at you and say, you poor, poor gringo.
You know,
well, I have,
you don't want
I have
to spend
another
the night
question.
In a Mexican jail.
I have another question before we get to your book, and that is, you and I both believe that people talk to us after they have left us.
Yes.
Explain to the listening audience that might not understand why we feel the way we feel.
Well, I feel the way I feel because I've experienced it on numerous occasions.
Yep.
I think probably one that, well, there were several instances. I can't say one is more powerful than another. I know that my husband also feels this way. When we moved in with my mother to take care of her in her final years, God bless my husband for even suggesting it. He came to me one day. He was in the bedroom where my mother and father had, he was in the corner of the bedroom that used to be my brother's bedroom. There were 8 of us that were raised in a 1,000 square foot home. But, we look at our house now and say, where are we going to put all this stuff? But my husband came to me one night and said, who smokes cherry tobacco? And I said, well, my father did on occasion. He said, well, I smell it so clearly back in that back bedroom. I said, but my father's been dead 30 years. There's no way you could smell his tobacco. It's not like residual. And the house had been redone and repainted and everything. He said, well, I smelled the tobacco, and then I felt like someone patted me on the shoulder. Well, a few days later, I was unpacking a box, and I caught my breath. I just was sitting there, and I was like, and Curtis said, what happened? Did you cut yourself or whatever? And I said, no, I saw somebody that nobody else has seen. and I'm not sure who it was. It was just a feeling that I got. And so I heard this little voice say, "Don't you recognize your own daddy?"
Wow.
I just came by to tell you that I'm very proud of you for taking care of my sweetheart. Well, about a year after my mom had passed away, my son, when my mother passed away, I inherited her house. And my son happened to need a place to live when I came back to Florida. So he is renting the house from me and also taking care of my cat, because I didn't want to uproot the cat one more time. I know that sounds really weird, but I didn't want to make my cat move one more time. So my cat and my son are in my home, my childhood home. And Matt called me one night and said, "Mama, I just have to let you know that Pops came to pay a visit." Now, my father used to do something that everybody in my family has experienced at least once, and it was the way he would knock on the door. He'd pull out his pocket knife, and he would go. We always knew that was my daddy. Well, he knocked on the door, and Matt said, now, Matt was 18 months old when my father passed away, so he never really knew him, especially as an adult. But he heard that knock, and he knew it, and he said, "Come on in, Pops." And he said that he felt more than he saw, but the impression was, "I'm not coming back anymore because my sweetheart's in heaven with me."
Wow.
And we, you know, in my family, we experience that kind of stuff all the time.
His business was finished.
Yeah, and for the last 30-some-odd years, he has been hanging around that house. And my father was a jack-of-all-trades, a master of two, he said. I'm scared to ask what those two were. But he was a plumber. And I remember one time so clearly, about probably 8 or 9 years ago, I was replacing the whatever that thing is called that goes in the back of the toilet that makes the water go up or stay down or whatever. Float. Was replacing the float.
Yeah,
and I made a bigger mess than I had before I started replacing it. And, I mean, literally the water was pouring out of the toilet. And so I knew to turn off the valve, and I did that. And I sat on the floor, and I just said, "This is ridiculous. My daddy was a plumber. I ought to know how to do something this simple." And I heard my father's voice say, "Go look in the trash can." Because I thought I'd finished with the job. And I went out and found the box that the float came in. And underneath the little flap on the bottom of the box was the washer that I needed.
See? He was still taking care of you.
Yeah, yep. He always has. Now, there are some in my family who don't have this kind of experience, and they wonder why. But it's because their minds are too busy.
That, and they don't open up their mind and their heart and their soul. People think I'm nuts sometimes, but I explain to them, "Look, I have this sixth sense. I've had it all of my life."
Vaughn, I know you're nuts, but that's the part of you that I love.
Yeah, but isn't that why they say that children don't have these blocks and things, and they see angels, they see things all the time that we discard.
Absolutely.
That don't tell us, you know, and because they don't, you know, their minds are pure, they're not clouded, they can see the things that are all around us that we could see if we could, but we don't.
My mother told me that when I was 4 years old, one of her relatives wanted to commit me to an asylum because I was talking to angels. And I told them they were angels. I didn't say they're just imaginary playmates. They were angels. I still talk to angels. I know their names. I don't know how many, but I know many of my angels' names. And we don't have just one guardian angel. They've told me that, like, Harriet was assigned to me before I was born. And I have an angel named Cyril that He's the one that sits by my bedside when I'm sick. I have an angel that goes in the car with me, and, you know, he kind of watches out for other cars.
Well, the thing is, my grandson told his mother that he saw a man in the corner, and his mother called me, and she said, "Mama, Cherokee sees this man." I said, "What does he look like?" And she says, "Well, Cherokee says he wears this long black coat, and he wears a top hat." I said, "Brandy, that's his guardian." I says, he used to live with me when he was a baby. I says, "That's his guardian angel. He's been protecting him ever since he moved into this house with me." I said, "Don't discount him." Well, when Cherokee moved out, the angel went with him.
That's so cool.
What happens
well,
is
I'm telling
adult,
you, somebody's been taking care of me. Or I wouldn't be here.
What happens as adults is we close our minds to the possibilities that are out there. Because we don't want people doing like they were going to do to Mary and put us in the crazy house and avoid us like the plague. And that's wrong. Because we are given, especially those that come, and I've been studying on Scotland and Ireland for the trilogy I'm working on. Those of us that have the Scottish and Irish heritage, that is as normal to us as breathing, as having that sixth sense.
And, you know, the Irish people don't think twice about believing in leprechauns.
No, they don't. They don't believe twice.
I met a woman recently that I can't even explain what she looked like. She was the most unique person I've ever seen in the way she dressed, but there was something about her spirit that I just adored. She had pigtails on, and she had a garland of flowers around her head, and she looked like a flower. She looked like a tulip.
Wow.
She had a lot of scarves on, a lot of bracelets, and I had no reason to speak to her. But I just stopped her where she was, and I said, "I just want to tell you that I think you're just adorable." And she said, "Well, thank you. Do you know why?" I said, "No, I don't know why, but it doesn't matter." She said, "No, it doesn't matter, but you know I'm a fairy, right?" I said, "Well, that explains so much."
And instead of you thinking she's crazy, you just accepted her at face value.
Absolutely. And we had a nice little talk about fairies. And she knows more about fairies than I know about, well, I know a lot about bourbon. I can't think of
it.
Yeah, I know Jack. But anyway.
Well, can y'all believe that we're soon going to run out of time? And before we run out of time, I want to talk about your book. Yeah, the hour's about gone.
Well, get to the book, Yvonne.
I want to talk about your book, Mary. What is the name of it? What is it about? And when are we going to launch it on the show?
Well, right now I'm working with a title called Steep Steps. And it is about what three women do to confront a very powerful man who has abused them. It's about a political figure who is a sex addict. And it's actually based on a true event. I had a situation once where someone from my past reached out to me on Facebook and wanted to reestablish a relationship, even though he is married and I am married. He was married to a different person when I first met him, and he doesn't seem to think that marriage is a reason to not pursue a relationship with another woman. And so I did a lot of research. Yeah, there's a lot of them out there, and there's a lot of good guys out there. But I did a lot of research into the various forms of sex addiction and some of the treatment. The book is I think it's a novel way of introducing the 12-step program. And I had no idea that I was going to write this book. It is not the book that I thought I would ever write. I've got so many other book ideas in my brain and started that I want to finish. But when this guy approached me, I ended up having to block him after I talked to him for about 15 minutes on Facebook, and I realized he hasn't changed a bit. This is not going anywhere. And I blocked him. I told him, I said, have a nice life. Goodbye. And I blocked him, and I went and told Curtis about him. And Curtis said, that's just really weird. How do you feel about this? And I said, well, I feel fine. I've already blocked him, and I don't think I'm going to have any problem with him again. And he said, well, you do realize you kind of are a public figure now, even though you're not like, you know, a celebrity. You've got your name out there all over the internet. And now that he knows your married name, he could find you again. I said, then I will introduce him to you. He said, perfect.
Good answer.
And you know, I didn't really think too much of it. I went to bed that night, slept soundly, woke up the next morning, and I thought, oh my God, I've got to write about this. And it took me about 6 months to write the book. And then it took another month or so for people to read it and give me their critique. And then I had to revise it a little bit because it was one person told me that it was too hard for her to read because it was clinical. Another woman said it was too hard to read because it was painful.
Painful
can be good. But and as what I'm doing now, I'm actually shopping around for agents. I have a real strong feeling about this book, and I would like to see if I can't get it published by one of the big five. And
well,
if
you can, you know that
I have phone.
That's
been in the back of my mind. If I can't get this book put out there by one of the big five, I actually have friends with a publisher a little farther south. You don't always need New York.
No, you don't. And I'm going to tell you something, honey. If New York continues what they're doing, books are either going to be less worth reading published by the big six than they were before, because now you have a sensitivity reader that red marks it.
Yeah, and I'm wondering if that's not going to just totally flub mine up. And you know what? That's okay, too, because I know you.
Exactly. Now, we are like 5 minutes out of the end of the show. What I want you to, and I'm bringing you back, so don't worry. But what I want you to do in like a minute and a half is tell folks how to make their dreams real.
Believe in them. All you have to do is realize that you have value and stop belittling yourself and thinking, one day I will. What's wrong with today? Today is one day. In fact, when my husband, we'd go visit my mom for 10 years, that was our vacation. And every day for 10 years when I'd come home, I'd say, you know, someday somebody's got to step up. And the last time I said that to him, he said, today is the day, and you're somebody, so step up. And that's how you make your dreams. He's adorable. He really is. But that's how you make your dreams come true. You realize today is the day, I'm somebody, and by golly, I'm going to step up.
And you thank those who told you no, and you thank those who tell you no. And ladies and gentlemen, I preach this at every show. Mary had the same problem I did. People told her, you're not good enough, you can't do this, you're not smart enough. Go on and told her to be a waitress. They didn't tell me to do anything because I figured it wouldn't do any good anyway. But the fact is, even my own teachers did not think I was good enough. At every turn, they said, you can't write. You can't do this. You can't do that. I even had people tell me when I went back to school and become a bounty hunter, you can't do that. You're 4'11", you weigh 96 pounds, and you're a female. And what the hell is your point?
There That just means you can get into smaller places.
Yeah. You crawl through the hole in the wall.
Well, grown men are afraid of me. I mean,
they
I'm
damn
talking,
well should be.
Big men are afraid of me.
You know, that's kind of the Chihuahua syndrome, because you know how they bite ankles and everything. So I think that's kind of, you know, they're scared of women because they just never know what they're going to do.
Ron, I'll
you
find
know,
out where you live.
Ron, it's not even the size or where she can hit you or bite you. It's her intellect that puts
Listen,
men on.
I'm an ex-cop. I know where she could hit me or bite me, but I also worry more about her intellect than I do that.
Yep.
So.
Well, you know, I want to say this before we go, Yvonne. Remember the counselor who told me I wasn't smart enough to get into school on, you know, a scholarship?
Yes,
I ended up putting myself through college entirely on academic scholarships, one semester at
go.
A time.
There you go. I went back to school on the Hope Scholarship and on the Pell Grant at 54 years old.
You just have to believe that you can do it and know that if you don't do it, then you may have a regret. I will not go out of this world with a single regret.
And that's something I always say at the end of the show, too, that when you're on your deathbed, and you're laying there, and people say, because people are nosy, well, have you got any regrets? And you look at
yeah,
them
I let
and
you
say,
in the room.
Yeah, you shoulda, woulda, coulda. No, get your happy ass up and do it before you die.
Yep. That's it.
The only regret that I would have would be having somebody negative around me. But that's not necessarily my choice. I found out sometimes that people come into our circle not so much that we can learn from them, but so that we can teach them.
Yes. And negative people like
that. I'm a firm believer of that. Everyone that you come in contact with, you take something away even though you don't realize it.
Yep.
And then vice versa.
Exactly.
And you give them something, exactly. You may not realize it right then, but you take a piece.
Well, we are winding down. I want to say, Ron, thank you for calling in and being
my surprise. I'm delighted that Ron joined in.
Me too.
Well, I'm delighted that you allowed me to. It's been fun.
It was fun. And Mary, my love, you know I love you, and I am just so honored and humbled and appreciative and grateful that you're my friend and that you took an hour to come on my show. I told you it'd be a hoot.
It's always a hoot with you.
Good to meet you, Mary.
It's good to meet you too, Ron.
So, Ron,
Yvonne,
when you coming south? Yes, ma'am.
We're going to stop talking about that photo shoot, and we're going to make an appointment.
Yes, ma'am.
I'll look at my calendar, and we'll discuss this later.
Yes, ma'am. Ron, when are you coming south?
It'll be the end of December. I've got to go to Miami for the Moody Blues cruise.
Oh, well,
so
guess
it'll
what?
Be somewhere.
Well, Mr. Gregory, guess what? I'm two
what?
And a half hours north of Miami, so either on your way down to Miami or on your way north from Miami, you can stop by my house.
Well, that's what I was trying to say, because I'm going to have to pass by you one way or the other, you know.
Exactly.
So I'll make a point of doing that.
All righty. Ladies and gentlemen, tomorrow night at 8 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, you have to join us because my friend Nicholas Grabowski will be a guest on this show yet again. The man is absolutely amazing. Those of you who know Nicholas know what I'm talking about. He not only is a well-known publisher, he's a well-known author. He's very well-known in Hollywood and Los Angeles because that's where he got his start from. If you remember Michael Myers from Halloween, well, he wrote about Michael Myers when he wrote Halloween 4, so join us then. And remember, love yourself, like yourself, be happy with yourself, and don't live with regret. Y'all don't hang up when the show goes dark because we'll talk for a few minutes. We only go around this life one time. If we come back at another time in another body, the dreams are different. So if you've got a dream, live it now. You're never too old. You are never, 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 and you're never too challenged. Trust me. My brother is challenged. I've got dyslexia. I'm left-handed in a right-handed world. Every one of us is challenged. So don't say I can't because I have a learning disability, or I have a limp, or I have this, or I have that. I don't want to hear it. So until tomorrow night at 8 o'clock with our friend Nicholas Grabowski, this is Yvonne Mason and mine Gregory and my beautiful, beautiful friend Mary Brotherton saying good night.
Good night.
Okay.
Night.
We are now in archives, and anything we say is going to show up in archives. But, Mary, I wanted to let you know, as soon as the show goes up in archives, I'm going to put it on my Facebook page and tag you in it. And, Ron,
awesome.
I'll tag you in it, too, and you can pass it around and say, look what I did. I made my radio debut tonight.
There
yeah.
you go.
Little
and you know
rough.
I pass everything around. You know I pass everything around.
Some things we're not going to talk about, Ron.
Some things we're not going to talk about, but, you know, but there are things for that. But anyway.
Yeah, they have medication for those things.
Yes, they yeah they do. It's just, I just, never mind, I'm not going to say that. See, y'all copying me there.
Mary, he is so bad. Even when we were in school, he had a wicked sense of humor.
That's
well, you
why
had
you like
to
him.
Sit next, you had to sit next to Eva. And,
I wasn't
you know,
that
I
bad.
Knew you were, well, I knew you were talented then. I knew you were talented. And we did have some good teachers that taught us the value of writing. If you remember in English class, Hoyt would do grammar the first couple of weeks of the year, and then he'd get rid of it, and then we did literature the rest of the year.
That's
you know?
Oh, that's my favorite kind of teacher.
Oh.
Well, he was.
He was him and Miss Hunt. Yeah, he was. Him,
yes.
Because they loved what they did. They loved what they did.
Yeah,
and of course,
and although at that time I kind of hated it, now when I look back, it's like, oh, those wonderful things that I read and I learned that I never would have maybe with somebody else. It's just you don't know how much I value those things now.
He was something else. And Mr. Gatlin, the French, I took 3 years of French just because of my French teacher. He was amazing.
Yeah, Mr. Gatlin was amazing.
But we are going
to. You know, it's amazing how you have a teacher that just, you remember them all your life because they're educators. They're not just teachers.
Yeah. Well, he was a prisoner of war during World War II in Germany, Mary, and believe it or not, now, Ron and I graduated in 1969, and Mr. Gatlin is in his 90s and is still around.
He is still going.
Wow.
I think it was last year. I mean, he shows up for a reunion of some sort with the school every now and then and still comes to, you know, some of them's reunions. And,
that's amazing.
Because, he is amazing.
You know, that's the kind of old person I want to be because I intend to be very old and crotchety when I – actually, I won't be crotchety. I wouldn't know how. But I intend to get old, and I intend to be one of those people that – go to things, and people say, can you believe she's still out and about?
I told the children, I'm just going nasty away. I'm not going to die.
Well, see, at least you're lucky. Cause, at least you're lucky because when I go, they go, my God, why is he here? You know, so there's a big difference.
Yeah, we have a few in our family like that, too.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, children of the night.
Yes, ma'am.
I am going to close this show. And Ron, you know how to get a hold of me on Facebook. And Mary knows how to get a hold. And Ron, I'm going to use you again as a host because you're a pretty good co-host.
Well, thank you. I'm very shy, you know.
Yeah, okay. Uh-huh.
Yeah, well, you can be as shy as you want with a telephone there. It makes it easier. But you throw in just enough. Even if you don't know the person that she's interviewing, you throw in just enough little extra interest.
Well, I'm the color man at the baseball game. He doesn't
really?
Say
no.
that much, but he throws. But you know, he has to throw something in every now and then, and hopefully, it's helpful. It's a fill-in.
Hey, I just thought it was a hoot because immediately, you know, at some point, I always wonder how this was going to happen, but, you know, the boobs always come out. and you made sure with the 4D, and you wanted to keep abreast of things.
Yeah, I know. All original like stuff.
People like that, though. It makes the show memorable.
And that's why we call the show Off the Chain, and that's just why, Mary, people are coming to me now wanting to be on this show. Because I don't interview, I'm not the dry interviewer. What is your name? How long have you been writing? What made you decide to write?
You wouldn't.
Yeah, don't put me to sleep.
Like
yeah. No, I wouldn't. Because I want
But you do a good job of drawing things out, Yvonne. You
well,
do a good thing
people...
of drawing things out, but you give them the room to,
yeah, well, I do.
To go into detail.
I have to.
Yeah.
And it's important that they have them because it's about them, and I want people to know about the guests before they – and Mary knows this in marketing. We don't brand the product. We brand ourselves. And if I don't allow my guests to brand themselves, how the hell are they going to brand their product?
Well, that's true. But your show also, you were talking about dreams and things, and this shows people that you can have your dreams. This is not like watching network TV and interviews and things like that. This brings it down to a level where people can really associate with it and say, you know, maybe I can do that.
That's true.
Well, what I like about it is, you know, you asked me, what, 2-3 months ago to send you my biography.
Right.
And, of course, I couldn't just give you my biography. I just gave you a list of this is the stuff you need to know. And I had forgotten that I included my grandfather in there. Or maybe you found that somewhere else. I don't know. But there were some things that you asked me about that I had forgotten I even mentioned. Because I'll be honest, when I dialed the number tonight, because I was sitting there waiting for 8 o'clock, and I'm like, do I dial in early or do I dial in right on time? And then I saw the post where you said, well, my guest hasn't called. I'm like, I'm here.
Well, see, you struck a chord with me tonight because you were talking about abuse and things, and all the years that I was a policeman, I remember the calls that I would go to of abuse, and I would get there, and you know, the husband had beat the living daylights out of the wife. You'd take him off to jail, and she would beat you down to the jail to bail him out.
Yeah.
Yep.
You know, and then next Friday night, it was the same couple. You know,
well, you know,
and it was over and over and over again. It's like, you need to get out of this, you know.
Ron, I can't tell you how many times I'd go to bed praying he would hit me. Because I could show that to somebody and say, this is what he did to me. I couldn't explain that I felt beat up just by being in his presence or beat down or appropriate.
I had one time that I got there and the guy was on top of her beating the living daylights out of it. I threw him off of her, jumped on him to handcuff her. Handcuffing, and she was on my back, beating me in the back, telling me to let him go.
Oh, my gosh.
But
and
you
it was like
remember.
That literally, now you understand I was in my late 20s, and that just totally blew my mind.
I don't understand that at all.
We're going to have to do a show on domestic abuse, because I am a survivor
yeah.
of domestic abuse, and I understand.
I mean, I saw so much of that, and it was sad, but it frustrated. I think it frustrated me more of how can you do this week after week after week? I didn't understand it then. I understand it more now, but I didn't understand it then.
Well, it was a different time for one thing. And for another thing, women are so – when women are abused emotionally like Mary was, emotionally, mentally, and physically like I was, it becomes a pattern – and it becomes a way of life. And if the woman is not strong enough to break the cycle, and even if she is strong enough to break the cycle, 9 times out of 10, a TRO does not work. He's going to come find her. She's going to lock him up with a TRO. Then he's going to come back with a gun and kill her.
Exactly. You're absolutely right. You know.
Yeah. And so many people, you know, it's just a weird thing that draws people together like that. And I was really concerned when I met Curtis that I, or anybody, You know, when it was hard to date. It was really hard to date anybody again, because I was smart enough to know that women repeat this pattern over and over again.
Yes.
And the first time Curtis lost his temper, it scared the hell out of me. But then I realized that my ex never displayed his temper. He kept it hidden. His abuse was very, very subtle, and it was all done in pillow talk. Make you feel worthless and make you feel like you had to stay with him because he was the only person in the world that could possibly love you.
But let me tell you what.
And those are the hardest ones, because the scars and the bruises are not evident.
And they very seldom go away.
And what the next step would have been, Mary, is he would have hit you. Because, see, that's how it started out with me. It was the verbal abuse. And then it escalated when I was 8.5 months pregnant with my daughter to the first time he ever hit me.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, that would be a great show to do, and you can't do too many of those. And if you can reach one person and get them to change their lives, you've accomplished something.
Well, you know, I'm gonna set that show up, and I'm going to bring both of you back for that show.
I would like that, because I realized I did something tonight that I shouldn't have done, because when I was talking about my ex, I immediately made up for him. I said something derogatory, and then I immediately gave him an excuse. And I did that because I was thinking, oh, my kids will probably hear this one day.
Well, they need
Who
to
cares?
Know.
They need exactly. to know. They do. They both know. But they also need to know that I'm strong enough that I don't need to make excuses for him anymore.
Exactly.
Yeah.
See,
you grew tonight,
Mary.
I did.
Wow.
I realized that about myself, and I definitely want to come back on when you do that show.
Okay.
Because it ties in with my book, because I do a lot of I have the women in the book do a lot of soul searching about how this man has abused them psychologically, and how they, you know, the younger wife thinks, no, it wasn't abuse, he never hit me.
But it wasn't.
There's a lot of ways to hit people. A lot of ways to hit people.
All right, we'll set it up
great.
For July. How's that, guys? Is July good?
July,
that sounds
awesome.
Good. Yeah, sounds
because
great.
Because I'm going to tell you, that's right before school starts, and it's right before we start getting into the silly season. And
mm-hmm.
more domestic abuse happens between Thanksgiving and New Year's than any other time of the year.
Oh, the hot. Well, yeah. Yeah, the
holidays are stressful.
So if we can do it in July, and if we want to bring it back towards the silly season, we'll do that too. Because you can, like Ron says, there's never too much information for domestic abuse.
No. Yeah, if you can save one person or save one person's life, you've accomplished so much.
Yeah,
and we'll even
if you can empower one person to walk away. And you know what? What I think is sad is people don't realize that the domestic abuse goes the other way too.
Yes.
Men get abused as well.
They do.
Yeah, it does.
It doesn't happen often, but they won't tell you when it happens, because how demeaning and emasculating can that be?
Yes, how can you say you had the living daylights beat out of you by a woman if you're a man?
I know the mother of a man who was beaten bloody by a woman, and he had to get away. And my oldest son was actually stabbed by his first wife. And I asked him, what did you do when she was putting, I mean, it wasn't a deep stab, but it did need stitches. I said, what did you do to her? He said, I put my hands in my pocket. And I called the cops first, then I put my hands in my pocket. And I said, why didn't you push her down or smack her? He goes, Mom, the minute that I lay hands on her, I'm guilty.
Exactly.
She's in self-defense. He said, I know the rules.
Yeah, that'll be great to see if you hear from both sides, male and female on a show
that. I'll get to my other office, because I'm in my studio now. I'll get to my other office, and I'll look at my calendar. And I've got some dates, some nights open in July. I'll tag team both of y'all, and we'll set it up.
Awesome.
Okay, sounds good, my dear.
All right, my children. I will talk to y'all both later.
I'm so
okay,
glad.
Okay, love
that
you, Yvonne. Take care.
Bye-bye. All
right, Ron. Love you, too. Bye-bye, Mary. Love you, honey.
I love you, Yvonne. Bye-bye. Nice to meet you, Ron.
Bye-bye.